Welcome, everybody.
Yes.
Welcome, everybody, to Yes And Use the Rules of Improv to Improve Your Life. I'm Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach, and I'm so happy to be here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and especially to be broadcasting today from the shores of beautiful Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire. We have been experiencing amazing growth at the Life Coach Radio Network. We're in our fourth month now since our launch, and we're now a featured network on the Blog Talk Radio homepage, which is very exciting. And due to our interest in our programs, we've launched a second network, the International Life Coach Radio Network, which allows us to provide two shows to you per day. And we'll be launching our website soon as well. So we're so excited to have you listening and building the listenership and excitement around the Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network. So once again, I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach. What I do is help 30-somethings who aren't who or where they thought they'd be with their careers, relationships, and lives. And often my clients are experiencing 30-something panic and feeling they should have figured it out by now. So what I do is I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives, and values are a big part of that. And so are some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. So sometimes that involves navigating major transitions like career changes and breakups and big moves. And I also help 30-somethings create and nurture healthy and positive relationships. And another passion of mine is helping parents with building positive home, school, or home culture and navigating children's social and emotional challenges, because I was also a teacher for 9 years in addition to my coaching. And more to the point of our show today, I'm also a professional improviser, and I perform with a company in Philadelphia called Tongue and Groove Spontaneous Theater. I live in Philadelphia, and I do most of my coaching over the phone, which means I can work with people all over the place. So you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. That's CarrieSpaulding.com. And all my 30-somethings out there, you can reach me and sign up for free tips and tools on my website at carriespaulding.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach, 30-something written out, no numbers, no spaces. And you can reach me on Twitter at @SpauldingCarrie. So I'm really excited about today's show. Today I'm going to teach you the basic rules and skills of improvisation that professional improvisers use, and how these rules and concepts can help you up your game in your relationship, your career, and your life. I'm going to give you some exercises and games to help you develop your presence and your trust and your listening skills and become a more confident, on-your-feet communicator. And during the call, you can also call in with questions or comments, and you can call in at 646-716-9397. We also should have a chat activated, and you can also check in on the chat. And we're going to be talking about improv today. So for our purposes, we're just going to talk about improvisation as being created or performed spontaneously and without preparation. Created or performed spontaneously and without preparation. So what makes improv scary? A lot of people, when they hear about improv, or if they think they might be asked to do some improv, they might get a little bit nervous. And what's interesting is that the same things that make improv scary can be the same things that kind of make life a little bit scary. Uncertainty, the idea that I might make a fool of myself or I can't make it up on the spot. Think about how often life calls on us to do those things, to make things up on the spot or to deal with uncertainty. We live and we work in a world of constant change, and improvisation skills can help us to get in the game and to really play full out even as the game is constantly changing. Most people think improv is a skill that you're born with or you're not, and the truth is that the rules and the skills of improvisation can be learned and practiced and can help you up your game in your relationship, your career, and your life. What's interesting is that a lot of people think that improvisers are people who can just naturally let go of control, and are comfortable just letting things happen and taking things as they come, and are people who are naturally full of hilarious one-liners. And it's certainly true that there are some hilarious improvisers out there, some people who just seem to naturally always have the perfect thing to say. But for the most part, improvisers are just regular people who have practiced a set of skills that allow them to get on stage and create spontaneously in the moment. And improvisers as people are no less likely or more likely to be naturally comfortable in giving up control in their own lives. Many people, in fact, practice improv specifically to get more comfortable letting go of control and to get more comfortable thinking on their feet or developing their presence or their ability to sort of be in the moment of their lives. For me, you know, interestingly, as a kid growing up, I was someone who hated change. Just ask my mother. She used to lovingly tease me about it. And uncertainty can be really challenging to deal with. And you know, I'm someone who always really liked to plan everything out and to really be able to know how things were going to be. And uncertainty could be very, very challenging for me. So I'm a great example of how improvisation and practicing improvisation, it's a practice to help you develop the confidence and the ability to let go of control and be in the moment and be present and let go of that constant need for certainty. And as a coach, there are all kinds of really cool connections between improvisation and coaching and sort of being able to be present in the moment. And I can sometimes bring in improv concepts and exercises to help my clients who are working on leadership or their relationships or their professional confidence or their professional development. So I want to show you today that you do not have to be a professional improviser to benefit from the skills that improvisers use. And if we were live together, we could actually, you know, do some really fun games and exercises together. But since we're over the radio, I'm going to give you some concepts to try on and a few exercises you can try on your own or with a willing partner. And I've consciously chosen things that you can do without actually seeing me demo them in person. And one thing that I want to just really convey is that improv is not about being funny. It's about a number of things that we're about to talk about today that is a learnable skill and anyone can learn it. We all improvise every day, and life is a lot more like improv than it is like working from a script. So sometimes we might fool ourselves into thinking that we can plan and we can control, but the truth is that we deal with uncertainty on a regular basis. And today is going to be all about using the skills of improv and the concepts of improv to help you improve your ability to do that, to communicate, to handle your relationships, to handle uncertainty through improvisation. So think about for a moment, when do you improvise in your everyday life? And when is it most challenging for you? Improv can help you develop a huge number of crucial skills. And I'll just kind of talk about some of these skills now. One is to become more comfortable and adept at thinking on your feet, to create and perform in the moment, to stay present. So many of us have a million thoughts a minute running through our minds, and we're in the future, we're in the past. Improv can really help you stay right here in the now, to feel more confident, to silence your inner critic. We all have that little voice inside of our heads that's critiquing everything we do as we do it, to make decisions more easily, to adapt to change and manage change flexibly, to be present on a date or in a professional networking situation, to really be in that place with that person, receiving that person's input or energy, to help people feel more connected to you and more heard by you. Improv can help you deal with the unplannable parts of presentations or, you know, when you have situations where you have an important conversation that you want to talk about, but, you know, of course you can't script out everything. It can help you let go of control, access your innate creativity, and listen well. That's a really big one. practicing improv skills can help you build trust. It can help you collaborate much more effectively and see possibility in all the offers from others. We're going to talk about what offers are in a minute. And just generally help you improve your communication and relationships and teams. So now that we've run through a long and definitely incomplete list of all the skills that improv can enhance, think about a particular relationship or social situation that you'd like to enhance using what you learned today. Maybe your husband or your wife, your child, your clients, a situation where you often find yourself in your head or not being listened to or not feeling able to really be present. And I want to just invite you to kind of set that intention for yourself that you want to be able to use what you learn in that relationship and see how you can funnel some of these concepts through that real-life situation for you, because this is really about applying improv to your own real everyday life, not about getting you up on stage. Although if you do decide you want to do that, there are probably some cool opportunities near you to do so. So we're going to talk about some of the most basic principles and rules of improvisation. A lot of people assume that because improvisation is spontaneous in the moment, that people are just making everything up as they go along, and that's true as far as the what goes, as far as the content goes. But the actual skills that underlie improv and the concepts that underlie improv and the rules are the things that make the spontaneously created what of a scene or a situation possible. The first rule of improv is so fundamental. It's always going to be number one. I would bet that any improviser that you ever talk to would say that the first rule of improv is to say yes. And that means to accept all offers that are presented to you. So an offer in improv is anything verbal, physical, energetic that is added to the scene by your scene partner. So it could be a verbal statement, right? Hi, Mom, I'm home from school. That's a verbal offer. It could be a physical offer. It could be some sort of energetic offer, a mood, the way in which something is said. And in improv, the fundamental basic is that you must accept all offers. And to accept just means to take in and incorporate as true. And that is not the same as agreeing. It's not the same as the characters agreeing. I'll give you an example that explains that pretty clearly. So the idea of accepting is just to take it in and incorporate it as true. So imagine if you were to be watching a scene and somebody were to walk on stage and kind of physically imitate that they were hoisting a bag onto a bunk bed and rubbing their eyes and saying, oh, my baby girl, it's your first day of college. I can hardly believe it. To accept, but not necessarily be in happiness and harmony, maybe the other scene partner would say, Mom, lower your voice. I don't want everyone on the dorm hall to hear you calling me your baby. So that's an example where a character might be accepting, oh, I'm your daughter, you're my mother, we're at college, but not necessarily being in total agreement. The reason I bring this up is because so often in life, we might not totally agree with somebody else, but we can accept their input as true from their perspective and work with it. So the opposite of accepting in improv is blocking. So an extreme example of blocking in that situation, if some of you say, oh, my baby girl, it's your first day of college, I can hardly believe it, to block would be to say something like, what are you talking about, old man? You're not my mother. Or this isn't a college dorm, it's a circus, to completely change the reality that the other person has offered. So this is a very stagey example. I want to kind of invite you to think for a minute, though, about how accepting and blocking show up in real life, because we see it all the time. How do we normally block people? Well, the word but is a really common blocker in life. So somebody will say something to us, suggest an idea, share something, and we might block them by saying, yeah, but such and such, right? We try to control the reality by combating it and coming back with it. And this often shows up as not listening, and the result can be that people don't feel heard. So one thing that is really important with this first fundamental, say yes, is to understand that accepting means taking in, fully listening, and incorporating as true, and it's something to build on. We'll talk about this more in the example that I'm going to give you sort of for your real life, but in improv, that's kind of how it shows up. And what's interesting, too, is that, you know, accepting is a cornerstone of good improvisation. Whether or not the characters are agreeing or getting along, the characters can be in conflict even if the actors are in agreement. With blocking, it really compromises the relationship between the actors and the, you know, between the players and the audience. On stage, blocking might generate a cheap laugh, but it's always going to be at the cost of the scene and the relationship. And many, many communications challenges with communication in real life are due to blocking. Because in improv, as in life, people tend to block when they want to stay in control or when they're afraid of moving forward in some way, when they don't want the reality that they've carefully kind of created to change. It's really, really normal, and that's why it's a practice that it's really fundamental. Okay, so we'll come back to the first cardinal rule of saying yes in more detail when we talk about the exercises, but now we're going to talk about the second big rule of improv, which is to get in the game. And this means to take risks and add your own offers. So think about yourself the way you show up in the relationship that you've identified to kind of think about, whether it's a professional relationship or a personal relationship, a romantic relationship, a family relationship. How willing are you to get in the game? And some people may tend to really want to hold back, and that's actually a form of control in and of itself. If I don't risk something, I can't make a mistake. So I'm going to keep my cards really close to my chest, and I'm going to wait for other people to add all of the offers, to use improv speak, right? And getting in the game means not only do you say yes, but you also and, which is why the show is called Yes And. It's not just that you accept what somebody else has put forth, but you also build on it. You also add your own information. And that's really a part of playing full out in a relationship, isn't it? Not just to listen to what somebody else says, but to also add and build your own information. The third rule is to stay in the present. And this is something that lots of people work on in all kinds of ways. And if you're in your head thinking about what just happened, using the improv example, right? If you're an improv actor and you're on the sidelines, you've just been on stage and now you're off stage, if you're thinking about what just happened, or you're planning what you think should happen, or maybe you're even in the middle of a scene and you're thinking, what should I say next? You're not really listening. And you will not be able to react to what else is happening right now. So while you're busy in your head, you're going to miss golden opportunities. If you're in improv, again, imagine you're on stage, think about an improv actor. If that improv actor is so busy trying to think about a clever line or they're trying to think about how they're going to say something, they're going to be missing key information from their scene partners, and they're going to miss what the scene is actually about. In life, how does that show up? Well, an example that I often like to use because I think it shows up a lot and I hear it from people is dating. So if you're on your date thinking about, what am I going to say? I have to be funny. Oh, I wonder if he thinks I'm cute. Oh, I should have worn the other outfit. Oh, I should have ordered something different. I'm looking really messy right now. Whatever it is. If you're in your head analyzing everything, then you're not actually hearing or noticing or being present with the person that you're on the date with. The same thing happens if you give presentations professionally. let's imagine that you're giving a lecture or you're giving a talk, and maybe it's high stakes for you, so you want to do a really good job. If you're so much in your head thinking about how you're doing as a presenter or planning what you think should happen next or thinking of what you're going to say next, you're going to be missing all of the input that you're getting from your audience. Even just remember, an offer can be energetic, even just facial expressions, even any opportunity that you might have to be able to engage your audience or read what they're doing. So staying in the present is such a fundamental rule, both of improv and of life. So the fourth rule is to make the other players look good. And a funny thing about this one, if you make your scene partners look good as an improviser, it makes you look good too. And when I perform with my company, we're always taking care of each other. And there are a couple of ways that we do that. One way to take care of each other as improvisers, and of course by now you know that I'm going to draw parallels to life here in a minute, but one way to take care of each other as improvisers is to show up fully as your own character and to really not be timid and play the game full out as your character and hang on to your character. But another way to take care of your fellow improvisers is to support them in helping their character show up and making them look good. And the result when you take care of your fellow players and you make each other look good is a much better performing relationship, and it's usually much more satisfying for the audience as well, rather than a bunch of individuals hopping around on stage trying to be the funniest one or trying to be the best one. So think about how that might show up in a professional team. What is a professional team like when everybody on the team is thinking about just themselves, standing out? Everybody on the team is thinking about wanting to shine. How healthy and effective is that team going to be compared to a professional team where everybody on the team is dedicated to, first of all, bringing it themselves and really playing full out, but also to helping the other members of the team shine and helping the other players look good? Just like in improv, in life, if you make your partners look good, it ultimately will make you look good too. The same will show up in romantic relationships, right, in partnerships. If you can take care of others and help them to look good, and when I say look good, it doesn't necessarily have to do with how they look, right? That's just sort of an expression. But taking care of others ultimately feeds the relationship and will build you. The fifth rule is to let go of your inner critic. There are no mistakes in improv. There are no mistakes. There are gifts. There are only gifts. There are gifts in the accidents and the unexpected, if you're open to them. And so often in improv, the reason it's a practice is that, like I said, improvisers aren't magical people who just have no desire for control and who are perfectly zen about completely letting go. It is a practice. There are times as an improv actor when you'll get an idea and you'll get in a scene and you'll think, oh, you know, I have an idea. And immediately your scene partner will put out an offer that it's not that it is blocking you. It's not that it's saying no to your offer. It's just not going to follow the whole narrative of what you had sort of maybe even subconsciously set out in your head. And as an improviser, you need to be prepared to completely let go of that and know that there are no mistakes. There is no such thing as, oh, the storyline got messed up, that there are gifts in the accidents and the unexpected. Sometimes on stage you'll do something that feels like a mistake and it will end up being the nugget that makes the scene amazing. In life, the same is true. There are no mistakes. There are gifts in the accidents and the unexpected. And if you are open to them, oftentimes the things that you could not plan for, that you could not possibly imagine, are the things that really hold gold for you. So it's really a practice to let go of your inner critic and to be able to sort of breathe in, oh, that didn't turn out quite how I thought it was going to, and then to move forward. The sixth rule that I want to share with you, and this is the last one we're going to talk about today, is very much a rule for improv, but I think it's worth sharing just in case it might resonate with you in some part of your life, and that is to be obvious, or another way of saying it is don't try to be funny, or don't try to be brilliant. So often, the brilliance in excellent improvisation lies in the seemingly mundane. The best improv scenes that I've done, the best improv scenes that I've seen, often start with a very mundane, everyday situation or activity or scenario. And the very best improvisers will all tell you, don't try to be original, don't try to be clever, be obvious. Keith Johnstone, who is known as by many people as sort of the father of improv, he also wrote a couple of books, and one of them is called Impro for Storytellers. And he says, being obvious means being your own person, not somebody else's. And it lets the spectators see you as brilliant and courageous because they would be terrified to function so effortlessly. I'm going to read that quote again, and I want you to think about it for a minute in terms of your own life, about what would it be like if you were to dare to be completely authentically yourself, just uniquely yourself. Think about maybe the leaders that you most admire, and think about their authenticity or their boldness in being themselves versus kind of the muted version of themselves or the polite version of themselves or the sort of careful version of themselves. And what's amazing is that when we are our obvious selves, our most vulnerable real selves, those are often the moments where people really feel our brilliance. I'm going to read this quote again and to kind of hold it up to that lens. Being obvious means being your own person, not somebody else's. And it lets the spectators see you as brilliant and courageous, because they would be terrified to function so effortlessly. Love that. No, it's really funny. It's funny. I was just telling somebody this the other day, and I'll share it with you now. Sometimes when I'm on stage with my theater company, I will be playing a character, and I'll say something that I'm not surprised at all that it gets a laugh because I'm aware that it's funny. I might not be trying to be funny, but I'm just sort of speaking through this character, and it's not very surprising that there's a laugh. But sometimes, and when I think back to the biggest laughs that I've ever gotten on stage, it's usually one of these situations, once in a while, I will be on stage, and I will receive just a huge shaking, quaking laugh from the audience. And I will experience being just thrown off because I had no idea, and I even stopping to think about it, I don't even know what it is that I did that was funny. The truth is I was just being myself. I was being some version of myself through the character. I was speaking some truth. And I must have been revealing some strange little quirk of Carrie, some odd little truth that to me is normal and to other people is hilarious. And of course, we hope in a good way. But the funny thing is we don't know how original we really are. And that's partly because we're so busy trying to fit in and trying to do it right. Think about it in a dating situation. You might be trying so hard to appear polished and funny and smart and educated, or in a professional talk, you might be wanting to come off in those same ways. And sometimes by doing that, we mask our own mundane brilliance. We mask that part of ourselves that we couldn't manufacture if we tried, because it's just who we are at our core. Part of what improv can do is help you clear away all of that that years and years and years of practice that you've had masking yourself and filtering yourself through what you think other people want to see and allow you to just show up as you are, obvious. So I'm going to read over those one more time for you off of my little list, and this is a perfect example of how improvisers are not necessarily people who don't like to plan in their own lives, as I talk to you off of my little list here. So the first is to say yes, accept all offers. The second is to get in the game, take risks, and add your own offers. The third is to stay in the present. If you're in your head thinking about what just happened or planning what you think should happen, you're not really going to be able to listen and seize the golden opportunities. The fourth is to make the other players look good, which will ultimately tend to make you look good too and strengthen the relationship. The fifth is to let go of your inner critic, knowing that there are no mistakes. There are gifts and the accidents and the unexpected. And the sixth is to be obvious. Don't try to be fill-in-the-blank, funny, smart, polished, cute, whatever. So if you have any questions or comments about anything that we have talked about so far, you can call in, and that number is 646-716-9397. And if you want to share what principle stands out to you, what rule do you have a question about, or what are you discovering today, what are you excited to put into action, you can certainly call in at 646-716-9397. Or if you have any kind of a question about your own life and you want a little bit of coaching, how can you do any of these things that we're talking about in your own personal and professional relationships, go ahead and give me a call and we can do a little bit of talking about that. And I'm also going to tell you about some shows that we have coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network and then take some calls if we have any, just to tell you a little bit more about the network in general. It consists of coaches from all around the world. And we have a sister international network as well, as I mentioned. And we have a show on almost every single day and so many interesting topics. I really encourage you to look around on the Life Coach Radio Network and check out some of the other upcoming shows. There are lots of interesting people with particular areas of expertise. And just to give you a little preview of some upcoming shows, today, right after our show on improv, be sure to tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Responsibility, which is on our sister network, International Life Coach Radio. And you can tune in there by going to blogtalkradio.com/internationallifecoachradio. Today you'll join coaches Dexter Cicero, Rochelle Harrington, and Tim Billiter on responsibility as they discuss how we are each responsible for the life we experience from the personal level to the world as a whole. So if you tend to feel like you're not in control of your life, this could be a really great show for you to listen to. Tomorrow, Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, we have the Happy Healthy Hour with health coach Jen Duffy. And she's going to be talking with special guest Debbie Van Burgundian, who is also known as the Bulb Lady, for an episode where Debbie's going to talk about her expert gardening tips on how to get started growing your own herbs and techniques to help you keep your herbs happy and healthy. And they're also going to discuss some of the health benefits of herbs and share some recipe ideas and other creative household uses. So that's at 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, Saturday. And finally, on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And on this episode, Reverend Jen will be joined by Reverend Ramal Toon, who is the author of God's Graffiti. And Reverend Toon is an advocate, an activist, and a preacher who's going to share his story and talk about the work that he's involved in on behalf of urban youth. And you can, there, if you click on the link for that show, for the Spiritually Speaking, you can see a link to learn more about his book and more learn more about him, and there's a link there that you can click on. So you can also hear me next on the Life Coach Radio Network on a couple of Life Coach chats, which are coming up on August 17th and the 23rd, and both of those are at noon Eastern. And these are shows with two other coaches, and they're great opportunities to hear about a single topic with a bunch of different perspectives. And you can also call in and get some live coaching in those shows if you want to. And I want to remind you that today you can do that as well. You can call me at 646-716-9397 if you have any comments about improvisation or questions about how you can apply these to your own life. So now I'm going to give you three exercises that you can do. And the first one you can do completely by yourself. And you can actually do it as a secret. Nobody even has to know that you're doing it. The others, you'll need a partner, maybe somebody else who's listened to this show. You'll be able to share the archive with them and then maybe say, hey, let's try out these exercises, or you can easily explain them. So the first exercise that I want to teach you is something that you can do just on your own. And this is something that I've often had clients try, and they've noticed some pretty cool transformations. And that is to, for 1 week, completely replace the word but, B-U-T, in your vocabulary with the word and, A-N-D. So this show is called Yes and we talked about how the first rule of improvisation is to say yes. And so often in life, when we say yes, we follow it with that three-letter word, but. And yes, but is a sort of friendly way, a seemingly friendly way of blocking. It's really it's a way of saying no without having to say no. And it can sometimes come off as sort of passive-aggressive, right? So I'm acting as if I'm agreeing, but I'm actually saying no. So I invite you this week as your first exercise to notice every time you tend to have that word but come up on your lips or in your mind, just simply replace it with the word and. Completely replace it and see what you notice. So but is a blocking word. But is often a word that conveys you're wrong or I'm not listening to you or there's no solution or whatever it is, and it tends to bring up a lot of negative energy in other people, sometimes very subconsciously. And is a building word. It's a connecting word. I encourage you to do this even if you're having a disagreement with somebody, or maybe especially if you're having a disagreement with somebody. And one way, if we were together doing an improv exercise, we would do some experiments with yes and yes but. Sometimes when I'm teaching yes and in a workshop and people are having a little bit of trouble with it, I encourage people to even say yes and then somehow sort of in their own words repeat what they've just heard the other person say before adding their own idea. So I think that we should get the red one. Yes, you think we should get the red one and yada, 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 whatever it is that you want to add, rather than yes, but the green one will look so much nicer. So that's the first exercise, is to completely replace the word but with and. And then if you try this exercise, and I really hope that you will, whether you're listening live right now or whether you end up listening to the archive show, send me an email. You can reach me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, and tell me what you discovered. I always love to hear what comes up in this experiment for people. So how did it feel when you replaced the word but with the word and? What impact did it have on the energy of the conversation? What impact do you guess that it had, or did you notice it had, on whoever you were talking to? And even in your own mind, and your own energy, what changes for you, even just in your own thoughts when you replace, when you start to hear yourself thinking, but when you replace that with and, email me, let me know what you discover. This can be a really, really interesting exercise, and it's not about policing yourself, but think about it as a little game, just for this 1 week. Oh, that's not a word anymore. But is not a word anymore. The only word is and that you can use in that situation. It's also interesting to think about what makes it hard for you. What did you have to let go of to be able to say and? So the second exercise that I want to suggest for you is one that you can actually either play with a friend or you can play with a whole group of people. And this is called Word at a Time. And this is an improv game that can build a couple of really key skills. So it can help you, the focus really here is helping you with listening and really staying in the moment and letting go of control. That's the big one. If you struggle to let go of control, I've actually, when I've done this in workshops, I've had people have major epiphanies when they played this game. Creating agreement, adapting to change really quickly on your feet, collaborating, team building, and relationship building. This is a really good, if you're a manager and you, or even a teacher, if you play this game with your students, this can be a really great team building, relationship building exercise. So this is how you play Word at a Time. Basically, the players, whether that's you and a partner back and forth, or whether it's a whole group, I suggest if you play this in a group, you stand in a circle or sit in a circle and play the game that way. And you're telling a story, and each person is just adding one word at a time. So oftentimes when playing this game, we might count the words A and V as, you know, as not a word. So you could say, you know, the bug or a cat if you want to play that way. But other than that, and you might even say, just even those count as their own words, that you're going back and forth, and you can only add one word at a time. So this means that neither player can control the game. Or in a group, if you're playing around the circle and you can only add one word, nobody in the group can control the story. So this is useful for just about anyone. It really forces everybody to listen with full focus. Because imagine if you were to play this in a big circle with maybe 8 people, if you were to add a word and you were to decide, ooh, this is a story and this is what's going to happen next, and you're in your head, by the time it gets back around to you, you will have completely lost the story because you're in your own head. So playing this game really helps you to stay in the moment and let go of your control of the story. It can be a really magnificent team-building game, as I mentioned. It creates a powerful group mind. It's also a really great exercise for couples or anybody in any relationship to do together. It is a great game for people who struggle with that high need for control. And it's so, so simple. So I'm just going to give you an example. And I'm one person. Maybe someday we'll do part two of this show and we can, you know, I can do some demonstrations on the air and maybe even some people can call in and we can play a little bit. But for today, it'll be just me and my voice, and I'll just pause so that you know we're imagining one person at a time, adding one word at a time. It helps to come up with a name for the story to be told before it starts. And keep it simple. Remember, don't try to be funny. Be obvious. If you're a little lost for an idea, look around the room and call the story the fill in the name of any object you see in front of you. You don't have to have a good idea for this to work well. So then you're taking turns. You're just playing the story, telling the story one word at a time. And just a tip, it's helpful to name the characters. Keep the story out of the first person. In other words, don't use I. Use Sally or Jose or whatever. So maybe you're telling the story of the coat, and it might sound like this. Once there was a man named Donald. And imagining either that story got told with going around a circle or just you back and forth with your partner. Donald wanted. Two, why? So perhaps it turns out in this story that Donald buys a magical coat that enables him to fly, because this story is called The Coat. Or maybe the coat belonged to Donald's father, who is a pilot. You know, the purpose of the exercise is not how the coat comes into the story, or even if it's a great story at all, but just the process. And if you try this exercise with a partner or with a group, it's really interesting after to think about and reflect, what made it hard? What do you have to do to succeed in this story? What is success? And how does this show up? How does whatever came up for you show up when you're in a presentation or when you're on a date or with a client or with a student? So that's one word at a time, and it's one of the simplest and also one of the almost most profound improv exercises that I can offer you. Again, I would love for you to email me and let me know what you discover. I get really cool feedback all the time from people who are trying these things. It brings up questions about sort of how you're showing up in your relationships in a really fun way, right, in a non-judgmental way. It's just kind of fun to discover. So the last exercise that I want to share with you is also a game that you can play with a partner. And this might be a friend or a spouse or a colleague who has a playful personality and you feel like it would be appropriate to try this with. It can really be with anybody. You can do this with your kids. Kids love this game, but it's no more useful for kids than it is for adults. And this is the mirror game. You're going to stand facing your partner, and you become mirror reflections of each other. This is a silent game. There's no talking in it at all. So imagine that your partner A and maybe your boyfriend or your kid or your colleague or whoever is partner B. So first, partner A will lead. And it's as if partner A is looking into a mirror and partner B is the mirror. And partner B is going to try to do exactly what A is doing almost at the same moment that A is doing it. So it's as if B is the mirror reflection of A. So again, I'm describing this to you over the radio and it's a visual thing, but think about when you are doing this, things that might make it successful, because the goal is for you to work together. You might want to start out moving really slowly. And your goal would be for somebody to walk, not that somebody's actually going to walk along, I mean, I guess they might, but for somebody who's walking by to not even be able to tell who's leading, because that's how seamless it is. Then you're going to switch. So once you've gotten pretty good at that, you can flip it around so that B is going to be the leader and A is going to be the follower. Again, slow movement so that A can really be the true mirror. And then once you've gotten really good, you can actually try for there not to be a leader. So it's like even the two of you don't even really know who's leading and who's following. Now, when I do this in my improvisation workshops, and I do workshops for relationships and communication, team building, leadership, where improv can be really, really, really a great way to getting at some of these topics and some of these skill sets. I've had students who are just kind of blown away by the experience of what it's like to be doing this game and to have neither person leading and neither person following, or both people leading and following at the same time. You need to be able to completely give up control when you're doing that to be truly seamless, to be in true communication. And there's obviously some great metaphor there for relationships, right? How often are you truly in a relationship both leading and following at the same time, and you're just sort of seamlessly working together to create this reflection? Now, of course, your goal in a relationship is not to exactly mirror somebody else, but it's a really powerful exercise that can really help you let go of control and really be in tune with your partner and to truly stay present and just trust the other person. So that's the mirror game. So three exercises for you this week, just to review. And all of them are going to help you get at these key rules of improv that in turn will be able to help you increase the way, improve the skill set in your life of listening, collaborating effectively, building trust, letting go of control, thinking on your feet, being able to create in the moment, being able to silence your inner critic, be able to make decisions more easily and deal with change more flexibly. So, again, the rules that you're kind of bringing into your life when you practice improv are saying yes, which is not necessarily the same as agreeing. It's just taking in and incorporating what other people present to you as true, at least for them. Getting in the game. Staying present. Making your other players look good or the other people look good. Letting go of your inner critic. And being obvious, being completely authentically you, really using your own truth. And so these exercises are, one, I really challenge you to let go of that word but this week. There is no word but, just the word and. And just try for 1 week, can you always replace the word but with and? The second is the one word at a time game, which you can play either with a pair or in a group or with both. Again, if you have a team, this is a really great team building activity that can, it's a lot of fun. People tend to find this at, you know, at leadership workshops and seminars. People tend to get a real kick out of this game. It's a lot of fun. It can lead to a lot of laughter, which is, of course, a bonding experience. But it also has some real implications for people realizing maybe they have a desire for control that they didn't even know that they had. Or maybe they felt really timid about getting in the game and they didn't even want to stay there because they didn't want to mess up the story. Right? I've heard all of this feedback. You can find out a lot about who you are in a relationship when you play this game. Sometimes when you play in a partnership, one person gets really frustrated because they can't control the story and they had an idea and they thought it was a good idea. And the other partner doesn't even want to add in their word because they like to pacify and they like to appease and they want to just kind of go with it. Really recommend Word at a Time. You can play it in 3 minutes and it can have really profound impact. And it's a lot of fun. And finally, the mirror game, which is a silent game where you become your partner's mirror, your partner becomes your mirror. You can play the mirror game in a circle with one leader as well. This can be another group exercise. You'll probably get different things out of it if you play it as a group game than if you play it one-on-one. It's not that one is better than the other, but I really recommend if you're interested in sort of exploring how you are in a relationship or sort of how in tune you can be with your partner, I recommend you try this one-on-one as well. It could be a really fun game in a circle. Kids love that one too. So for accountability, just try to tell yourself right now, choose one relationship or one situation in your life that you are going to really try to say yes in this week. And saying yes doesn't necessarily mean letting go of all of your input. Remember, you want to get in the game too. Saying yes doesn't mean agreeing with everything the other person says. But saying yes means, instead of blocking them with a but, taking in whatever they're offering to a situation and incorporating it into what happens. And if you find yourself drawing on these concepts this week, and I say this week just because I'm thinking sometimes that can be a really great kind of period of time to try out an experiment for. It's sort of a safe number because it's not too long, it's not threatening, but it's also long enough that you can really notice the transformation. But, you know, whatever works for you. If you find yourself drawing on these concepts, please email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, or you can go to my website and there's a contact box on there, and just tell me about what you discovered, even if it's just a lot of fun. I really love to hear from listeners, and it also helps me to know when I do future programs, it's always interesting to kind of hear what has come up for people or what has stood out the most. How do you hear this showing up in your life? And I am available for private coaching. That's what I do mostly. I work with private clients, but I also do facilitate team building and leadership seminars and workshops for organizations, whether that's for schools or for other, you know, businesses and organizations. I can customize for your organization. So if you're listening and you think that these concepts are ones that could really help your organization thrive, please get in touch with me. I love to facilitate these workshops and these seminars, and they're a lot of fun, and I sometimes get the feedback that they were transformative for people in a way that other workshops trying to get at the same skills were not. So it's a really fun way to develop core competencies that we all need: flexibility, presence, leadership, all of these things. And I also want to just remind you that there are a lot of other awesome shows coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network, and we have a show coming up in just 5 minutes, as soon as this one is done, over at the International Life Coach Radio. And I hope that you will tune in to all kinds of these shows and that you'll reach out and share how these concepts have given you some insight into how you show up in your own relationships. And I really encourage you to try some of these exercises from today. The reason I gave you a secret one, the just replacing the word in your own vocabulary, is that sometimes the idea of trying anything related to improv can be really scary to people. And that's understandable. But I just want to encourage you, even if you get nothing else out of today, that you actually try. Just try that one little nugget. Nobody even has to know. But, of course, if you do it, I'd love to hear from you. And you might be surprised at what a big impact some of these little games can make. If you'd like to connect with me after, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. I'll spell my name one more time. It's carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. You can call me at 602-684-2458. You can visit my website at www.carriespaulding.com. And I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach and on Twitter at @SpaldingCarrie. You can listen to this show again using the same link at any time. And you can also search back through the archives. I am the 30-something coach. I work with people of all ages, but my specialty has really been working with 30-somethings who aren't who or where they want to be with their relationships and their careers and their lives. And you can kind of search back through the archives if you want to find my other shows. And I also participate in the Life Coach Chats with other coaches, which is a great opportunity for us all to talk together about a certain concept. So don't forget to tune in every day to the Life Coach Radio Network, or as often as you can. And I can't wait to hear from you. And remember, as you head into your life this week, to say yes. And okay, everyone, be well and have a wonderful weekend.